deputy of Allah, Rasul of Allah, great Nabi of Allah. So Allah's hand will be always with him, Allah's help will be always with him, Allah's power and aid will always be with him. But the type of wahi that he will be getting will not be canon law, legislative, because the deen of Islam is complete. Similarly, for example, when we see in the Quran Kareem, various others have received wahi. For example, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the bees also getting wahi. Now, these types of wahi which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about in the Quran Kareem concerning the mother of Musa, the mother of Isa, and the bees, now they are what we call benefiting for the world. If you look at the wahi that they received, it was first of all not canon law, secondly not legislative in nature, thirdly they have got benefit for this world, the immediate result and immediate effect and immediate consequences of that wahi pertains to the world. Whereas the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the legislative wahi al-shari, will have benefit in all the worlds, in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. This wahi is linked to. Because why I'm making this discussion, next week inshallah I will try to also explain the difference between wahi and kashf and ilham. Kashf, ilham, which pious people get, righteous people get, and what is the shari status of wahi, shari, and wahi ghair shari, and what is the shari status of ilham, and what is the shari status of kashf, and I'll define all of them.
Inshallah.
Now, as far as the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the unseen, I think the person who posed the question, he or she, they must be referring to, there is a concept which is very erroneous that is floating around. That concept is, some of the people unfortunately erroneously believe or hold this view that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just came, and they use these statements to explain their point of view. They say that he was like a postman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. They say the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like a postman. He just came and he delivered one message and now he is no more. And as if to say, he just came, conveyed something and he's no more. He transmitted something, he's no more. And he was like a postman carrying a letter, the Quran Kareem, and he brought it and he left it. And now he is no more. Then they extend that fallacious idea and that erroneous belief and they say, now he is no more in the grave, he is now dust, and he cannot listen, and he does not hear when you write near him in the grave. All those things, other beliefs follow one after the other.
Okay.
So that is why that person is inquiring that did Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us by the unseen, or did he inform us of the unseen?
Yes.
Actually, he is trying to throw the arrow from a very far place, and he is implying that perhaps Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like a postman delivery. We say no. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is righteous, pious, and he came, the Quran Kareem was revealed to him, and he explained the Quran to us. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha explains in one hadith when someone asked her that tell us about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character. So she said, his character is the Quran. Meaning that when you have the Quran in text form, and when you have the living Quran in the form of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that the example of the Quran or the behavior patterns of the Quran which the Anbiya alayhi salam came to explain, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it to the Ummah and explained it to mankind for salvation in all the in the Akhirat, in the grave, and in this dunya. So the question is about the unseen. Yes, alhamdulillah, as far as the unseen is concerned, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when compared to the other Anbiya alayhi salam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he saw most of the unseen when compared to the other Anbiya alayhi salam. Now we'll go through this very slowly because this is something to understand. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he was at the mountain, at the foothill or the near the mountain, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he wants to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We, the Ahlul Sunnat wal Jamaat, prove from this mere request of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam that he wants to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we prove that the possibility of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Because a Nabi of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, requested to see Allah, so that means the possibility exists. And inshallah, as explained in the hadith of the Muslim Sharif, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained on the day of judgment, when Sahaba Ikram asked him that how we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah's Nabi explained that in detail, how are we going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, when the night of Mi'raj took place, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from Makkah to Jerusalem, Jerusalem to the heavens, and then to Sidratul Muntaha, and there Jibreel alayhi salam stopped, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded, and he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the preferred opinion of most of the Sahaba and most of the scholars of Islam is that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Allah, he actually had the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we take this fact and we weigh it against all the other Anbiya alayhi salam. We've got, as we know, we believe in 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam, of which 25 have been mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, and their incidents, their stories, their parables, and the events have been narrated in the Quran al-Kareem, but nowhere it is stated that any Nabi of Allah saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or any Rasul of Allah saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the unseen, we believe in Allah. We haven't seen Allah. Sahaba believed in Allah. They haven't seen Allah. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and informed us of the existence of Allah, and we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his existence, in his being, and we bring faith and iman on that. And similarly, when we look at Jannat and Jahannam, now Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the night of Mi'raj, because Mi'raj was spiritual and bodily, and he saw Jannat and he saw Jahannam, and he saw the comforts and the ease in Jannat, and he saw the torments and the punishment and the fire and the cold and all the azab of Jahannam. And then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated it, which differentiated on earth two groups. One group of Abu Jahl, who rejected it, mocked at it, laughed at it, denied it, and one group of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was given the title of Siddiq after testifying to the event of Mi'raj, not even listening to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when Abu Jahl came to mock at him and told him that your Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has now claimed that he's gone from Makkah to Jerusalem and then to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannat and Jahannam, etc., Hazrat Abu Bakr immediately testified by saying that if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, we believe in it. He believes in it. And that is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the title of Siddi. So here again we see that our Nabi, we believe in Jannat, we haven't seen it. We believe in Jahannam, we haven't seen it. But our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Jannat, he saw Jahannam, informed us, taught us about it. Here also we should know something, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not merely a postman, as people erroneously want us to believe. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a message and he taught that message. That is why in the hadith it comes clearly that he says that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says that he is Mabuz Mu'alliman, that he has been sent as a teacher. Now, a teacher does not just take the textbook and give it to the student. A teacher literally, figuratively, and practically teaches the textbook out to the students. So, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a teacher, guide, spiritual guide to the to his ummah, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. That is why Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even taught us, that is Sahaba Ikram, how to go to toilet even. So everything has been detailed, specified. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never informed only, but he taught also. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught the minutest details about Taharat, Salat. That is why in Salat, the famous hadith is that when one Sahabi made Salat quickly, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that Qum fasalli, that go and make Salat again, it is as if to say you have not made Salat. And when the Sahabi did this three times, then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that perform Salat like how you see me. So that means Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not only informing, but he was teaching. And not only teaching, he was teaching practically how to perform the Salat. That is why in the Hajj period too, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Hajj on the camel Kaswa. Why? Because the people must see him how he's performing the Hajj. And he himself said about the Hajj that look at me and learn from me the Manasik Hajj, for perhaps next year I will not be with you. And that's how exactly it happened.
Right.
That Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is one of the reasons why he did not go walking on the Hajj. He went on the camel so that people could observe him, look at him. He's higher than all the people. The people are observing him and looking how he's performing the Hajj, and we're able to learn and able to guide. That is why during the Hajj period, prior to that, the first Amir of Hajj was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that he who fasts on the day of Arafat will have his previous year's sins forgiven. So when he came to Arafat, so Sahaba inquired that is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting. So they went to one of his wives and asked, is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting? So she said, very easy to find out. So she took a container of milk and sent it with one young lad to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why milk? Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in another hadith that when three things are presented to you, do not refuse. One is the ikr, second is pillow, and thirdly is milk. So that is why they sent milk to him. So immediately when he got the milk, he drank it. So she said, see, he drank it, therefore he is not fasting. So for the Haji in Arafat, you should not fast. Why? He requires the strength to make his ibadat and his dua. And also, he's on travel, traveling from there to Muzdalifah. So therefore, that is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he not only came to inform, but he came to teach, and came to teach practically the deen of Islam, which is simple and easy. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the Hajj on the Kaswa. However, we must know that it is more rewarding, according to all four Imams also, that to walk the Hajj, you get more sawab when you are walking the Hajj.
Right.
Now, also take another incident, that the Jinnat. We believe in the Jinnat. And we have got the stories of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam and the Jinnat. But we do not have any categorical text that whether Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam saw the Jinnat in their original form. But we have got about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he told Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood, who was prepared to go with him, he made Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu sit and drew, according to one narration, he drew a circle round him and told Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu that don't come out of this circle. Second narration, he made a line and he told Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu that don't come out, don't cross this line, stay in besides this line. Don't go across the line. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he in the evening would hear people passing him, and people were dressed in white, people were dark in complexion, and people were graying. Then there was a huge noise, and there were people passing me in various shapes. After that, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what did you see, what did you hear? So Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated what he saw and experienced the whole night. And Hazrat Abdullah asked him that what was that huge noise that you heard? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained what transpired in that whole night and how he met the jinnat in their original shapes and forms, and he preached to them Islam and how they accepted Islam, and he had to settle a dispute, and because of that dispute, prior to the dispute there was that huge noise or the sound showing the concern about the dispute which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed and he solved. So the jinnat, even we believe in it, we believe in the jinnat, the unseen, but our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, he saw the jinnat and he informed us about it, taught us about it. Similarly, when you come to the malaika, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was able to see Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. And according to the scholars, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form on two occasions. They narrated in the books of history. And one was when he, after the first revelation, Jibreel, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down, and at a place called Ajyad, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam and describes that wherever he looked, up the horizon, below, to the east, to the west, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was there in full glory with his 600 wings spread out. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also should see Jibreel alayhi salam. We get the hadiths that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, told Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Jibreel has come and Jibreel gives you salam. These are famous hadiths. And Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala that Jibreel has come and Jibreel gives you salam. Now, on many occasions like that, we find that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is able to look and able to see the malaika, the angels, in the battles, various battles also, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to see. The funeral of Jafar al-Tayyar, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking tiptoed. Sahaba ikram asked him, why are you walking tiptoed? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I do not want to trample upon the wings, and I do not want to trample upon the malaika who have come in huge numbers to attend the funeral of Jafar. And so Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Nabi who saw the unseen, and then he informed us as Muslims that this is the unseen, we should believe in it. So alhamdulillah, we have got tremendous advantage. In fact, one thought also comes in mind that on the night of Miraj, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw the Anbiya alayhi salam, because when he went to Masjid al-Aqsa, he was made the Imam by Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam led him in front, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam made the Imamate of all the Anbiya alayhi salam, 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam who were present there. And then at various levels, various stages in Jannat, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met various Anbiya alayhi salam. All these details are in the Ahadith kitabs concerning Miraj. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually saw Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to meet them, have discussions with them. Also Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of the existence of these Anbiya alayhi salam. For example, the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, they could have met their contemporaries, but not what was those that have passed away before them. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met those that have passed away before him and was able to inform us and teach us about the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, and we believe in the previous Anbiya alayhi salam.
Sir, we've got about 10 minutes left before we leave you this evening. We've still got about 8 questions which we haven't got to yet. Just because we've been talking on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this other question comes in, and the sister says, by making a statement that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an ordinary man, is that statement correct, or are we undermining the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
By saying that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person says that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an ordinary man, in fact we should not use this word, and out of respect for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should not say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just an ordinary man. This is why I was trying to explain in detail and refute that concept that of some people who say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just a person who came like a postman and like delivering a letter and he went away.
Yeah.
So, you know, out of respect, that we should not say that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just an ordinary person. Yes, what? And Allama Rum in his Masnavi, etc., they discussed this, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had hands and other human beings have got hands. Yeah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got eyes, other human beings have got eyes. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got ears and tongue, other human beings have got ears and tongue. But the difference being, when the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks, he looks differently with the eyes. And when he hears differently, meaning that when the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks, he's looking towards the welfare, total welfare of the society, locality, mankind. And when he hears, whatever he hears, the Nabi of Allah, he reacts immediately for the concern of mankind. But an ordinary man, when he sees even murder being committed, he does not even bother. Mm-hmm. When he hears about incidents which are supposed to be affecting the heart, he doesn't bother. So we should try as far as possible not to use these words, because we are talking about the best of creation, we are talking about the best of Anbiya, we're talking of the most pious person who came on the surface of the earth, and we're talking of the best personality and character that ever set foot on the surface of the earth.
Right. The second question also comes from a brother who says that there's a traditional belief that frames in our homes, when we hang the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of Allah, we should not leave it at one level, so in other words, not next to each other. Is this blasphemous to do, firstly? And the second question, should we be hanging the frame of Allah's name higher than that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
As far as the frames are concerned, we'll mention and talk about that. See, one is one question about saying that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an ordinary human being.
Right.
And I told you we should avoid using such statement.
Okay.
Secondly, on the other hand, we cannot take Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and pass him over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is unique, and Allah is unique in his uniqueness. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unique, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unique in his uniqueness.
Right.
But Allah is our creator, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the creation. And the creator supersedes the creation. The creation cannot equal the creator.
Right.
The creator remains the creator, the creation remains the creation.
Right.
Yes, but Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of creation, is the most pious of creation. We should not forget that. As far as the frames are concerned, that if a person puts the frames on an equal level, there is no problem in that. His belief must be right.
Right.
That Allah is Allah, and Allah is our creator, and Allah is unique in his uniqueness, and Allah, there can be nothing equal and nothing superior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst mankind, amongst the creation, he is the most superior, and there is no equal to him.
Alright. Okay. Well, sir, the very final question that we're going to pose this evening is that of Ajuj and Majuj. The listener wants to know, why will they come, who are they, and when will they come?
Now this is half an hour discussion.
Okay, then I think we'll have to discuss it next time, Musa, because all the other questions that we have, I think, are also going to have to be explained in detail, because the next question is, please explain the concept of Iman. Is this related to the unseen as well? There's also a lengthy discussion, I'm sure.
Iman. Yeah. Iman related to unseen.
Unseen. Well, they're saying that explain the concept of Iman.
Yes.
And is Iman related to the unseen beliefs?
And also we had a question which I want to deal in some detail concerning intelligence.
There is a question here, Muftisab, where they say that are the questions of Sharia logical? Does our logic not play a role in understanding and putting issues into perspective?
Yes, I want to discuss this, inshallah, in detail.
Inshallah.
And I will try to prepare something over two sessions. I want to discuss this intelligence problem. And Yajuj, Majuj, you say.
Muftisab, maybe I think what we should be doing is, after the program, we will discuss this and put something together for next week, inshallah. But today, I think we're going to close it because all the questions that have come in need detailed explanations.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, Muftisab. Inshallah, we will speak to you again.
Salaam.
Wa alaikum salam. That was Mufti Ilyas, and very, very interesting issues coming up here. And inshallah, next week, we will return with Mufti Ilyas on the topic of belief.